Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm so glad you're joining me today as we continue our theme about being an overcomer. Being an overcomer in a crazy upside-down world. Yes, God has promised us victory, even here in this present life and in this present world. Now, there's a lot in the New Testament about being an overcomer, uses this word. For example, in Revelation, the New Testament writer that uses the word maybe more than anybody else is John in his gospel, in his epistles, and in the book of Revelation. And the word is nikao in Greek, and it means to conquer, to prevail, to be victorious. So, it is God's will for you to conquer, to prevail, to be victorious over the things that would try to bring you down, to destroy you, to try to get on top of you. It is God's will for you to overcome. And in the book of Revelation, many of you know that in chapters 2 and 3, there are seven letters to the churches of Asia. That was the province of Asia, would be present-day Turkey. And at the end of each letter, there is a promise to the one who overcomes, a special promise to the one who overcomes. Maybe we'll look at that in some of our later episodes. But I want to mention today, I'm going to read some statements from 1 John about the one who overcomes. And he emphasizes overcoming what he calls the world. So listen to this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And then in John 5, 5, the very next verse, it says, "Who is he who overcomes, who conquers or prevails against the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." 1 John 4, 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Now, who's them? Well, he's talking about the world. Now, we're going to have to define world. Because you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he's talking about something negative here. Now, he's not talking about what John said in John 3, 16, "God so loved the world." There he was talking about the inhabitants of the world. But in these passages, he's talking about the world system, this present world system that is against God, that is actually ruled over by Satan. For example, let me just look at this one also in 1 John. Bear with me. I'm going to turn over in 1 John. It says in 1 John 5, 19, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one," the whole world. Now, the Greek word for world is cosmos, and it refers to an orderly arrangement. And the sense in which John is using it here is this whole world system, the political systems, the educational commercial systems, these orderly arrangements. John says that they lie in the lap of the wicked one. And even in, I believe it is in, it might be First or is it 2 Corinthians 4, 4. There's a passage, I'll have to look it up later. Satan is called the god of this world, or some translations call it the god of this age. Little g, of course. Now, I always want to emphasize he is a defeated foe, but he is still around and he is influencing the systems of this present world, this present age. Let me just give you an example. I've done a lot of research and writing about America's history. Was directed by God to do this, directed by the Holy Spirit beginning in about 2010. But one thing that I learned was that America was birthed out of a powerful Christian revival called the Great Awakening. all of the great educational institutions that go back to that time, like Harvard University, Yale University, Columbia University, here in the United States, they were all founded as Christian institutions to train ministers to pastor churches and as evangelists to preach the gospel. And these things are all in, they're still there in their founding documents. But today, they have become anti-Christian indoctrination centers, anti-God institutions, totally turned away from how they were founded. Why has that happened? Because the tendency of this world is against God. The famous, I'm trying to think of his name, maybe it will come to me in a moment, but let me tell you what he said. He called it the wilderness principle. In other words, if you leave land to itself, it will turn into wilderness. It takes effort. It takes disciplined effort to turn land into a beautiful garden or into a lawn. What happens, those of you who have a lawn, if you just leave it alone, you don't bother with it. Hey, it grows up. It becomes ugly. Weeds begin to grow. No, to have a beautiful lawn, you have to work. This person called it the wilderness principle, and he was using this as an example of what John calls the world, which is set against God. And so it would refer to all of those temptations, those advantages, and the allurements that are offered to us by this present evil world. Let me read in John chapter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to this. John said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." This is some powerful things. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." Lust is extreme desire. The lust of the flesh, the things that the flesh desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, all of those things that you see, you know, that you think you've got to have. And John is saying, this is the characteristic of this present world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of us, and the pride of life, wanting to be significant, wanting to be important, wanting to be somebody. He says, "This is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Paul talks about one of his companions got caught up with the things of this world, the allurements, the temporary allurements and advantages of this present world, which are temporary. And he spoke of this in 2 Timothy, his very last letter. He was in prison, and he was martyred at the time of this imprisonment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Wow. Can you imagine a companion of Paul deserted him? Oh, he got some kind of offer or something that was personally advantageous to him. Oh, but what did that do to his eternal future? Well, I don't know. But Paul said to Timothy, "Be diligent. I need you, Timothy. Come quickly. Because Demas, whom I was counting on, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world." So how do we overcome the world? We're going to have to, we'll get into that the next time, but let me just read this passage again. "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So if we've been born of God, and we walk in faith in Jesus, we can overcome this present world. I'm Eddie Hyatt. I look forward to seeing you next time on the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. Be sure to check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. Be sure and check out new books that I have written just in the last couple of months. One is called, it's 190-some pages. It's called Discovering the Real Jesus. It is an apologetic. An apologetic means defending the faith with rational and historical scientific evidences. And my wife, Sue, she edited a book for me, and I've got over 20 books in print. She said, I think this is the most important book you have written. And I was just preaching in a church in Northeast Texas, and I didn't promote any of my books, but at the end of the service, the pastor said to the congregation that he had been reading this book, and he said, if you read any book this year, you need to read Discovering the Real Jesus. So it's available on Amazon, also on our website at eddiehyatt.com. Also, my new book that just came out last month, 107 pages, called Who Says Women Can't Pastor? Who says women can't pastor? And I show in the book that Jesus didn't say women couldn't pastor. Paul didn't say women couldn't pastor. And I give examples of women pastors in the Bible. So if you have any questions about this, about women in leadership, women in pastoral leadership in the church, if you know a woman pastor, you should get her a copy of this to encourage her. Or if you know somebody that they need to be enlightened in this area, get a copy of Who Says Women Can't Pastor. And there's also other resources there on our website, eddiehyatt.com. You're welcome to send us an email. Our emails are there. My email, Sue's email, is there. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.